Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into a mindset of worship. Thank you very much. There are not very many ladies that I would let stand up here. There's a couple in this church, there's no way I'd let them. Your mother-in-law. First of all, do we have any prayer requests that we need to take care of today? Do you have we heard how Denise did? Okay. Was this, no? It's a fourth. It's a fourth. I'm sorry. It's a fourth. It's a fourth. So we need to be in prayer for Denise and the operation. The fourth, and let's see. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Who does? Leanne?
Yeah,
so. All right. We'll be in prayer for Leanne. And for work?
Yeah, for a new job.
Okay. All right. We pray that the Spirit will just give her calmness. And I've often wondered, and we've thought about it in seminary, but in college, and can I ask God to give me the answers when I didn't study? When you study, you can say, help me recall. But if you didn't study at all, okay, God, supernaturally give me some answers here. So we'll be in prayer for Leanne. Be in prayer for Nathan and Cindy Edwards, Tish Rasheen and her cancer, Nancy Becker, need to be in prayer for her, yes. And we need to be in prayer for Wes's eyes and your eye. And you say the arm's pretty well taken care of. It's healed. Okay, take care of itself. So that's good. And then, of course, be in prayer for each other. Okay, as I was saying, not many but ladies turn it over to, but it's with great privilege that Pat, Dan Hill's wife, Pat Hill, are... Dan Hill is this woman's husband. That's the way, I guess, is the better way to say it. And so we word it that way. And Pat is. What's your position at Grace Gospel Missions?
Executive Administrator.
Okay, it's a long title. Executive Administrator of the Grace Gospel Missions, and. Pat has gone to Africa many times and has a real heart, as you'll be able to tell, for Africa and for the various missions and things that are there. And so, without further ado, Pat, why don't you come and talk with us? And do you mind putting this on?
I don't at all.
Okay.
I don't mind doing that. Right. And if you'll do me a favor,
yes.
What do you do with this? I've never seen one like this. Fancy. I might need one of these, huh? Okay. Is that right?
It's great for the hair.
Okay. Oh, I don't know here. Okay. before we start, I want everybody to be in fellowship, and especially me with this thing around my neck. And so I'm going to ask Herman to lead us in an opening prayer. And before we pray, just ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and enlighten us to what he has to show us tonight.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful opportunity to assemble together tonight. One of the functions of the local assembly that Jesus Christ founded at his ascension and session was the outreach of the gospel. To send the gospel for both unbeliever and believer, and therefore, Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege the way that you've used this humble assembly. And now we pray, Father, that you will enlighten us to the things that you would have us to see, to understand, and to know. Those that are here tonight, those who will listen later, those on the internet, and get an understanding, Heavenly Father, of the outreach to Africa. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to pick this up so I can move around. I don't dance up here like they do in Africa, but I do move around, okay? I just want to thank Herman for allowing Rhonda and I, and by the way, this is my friend and my co-worker, and Herman's friend and my co-worker. She works with us doing a lot of administrative work. She's just like my right hand at Grace Gospel Missions, and so this is Rhonda, and she's with me, and we're going to be doing this tonight and going to Mesquite tomorrow night. So I just thank Herman so much for allowing us to come. Of course, I have a lot of things on him, you know. From I've known Herman a long time, okay? But I'm so thankful that he got to go to Nigeria and to Zambia with my husband. I think it was a life-changing thing for him. I know it was for my husband watching him. So he still, every once in a while, say, oh, and let me tell you about this, and let me tell you about that, and he just keeps talking about it, and it was a wonderful trip. And I even know that just because I've been there so many times, and I know the people that they ministered to, and so I know it was a wonderful trip, and it's so nice for me to be here. Herman got to meet some of the people that I've known since 1993, you know, all those years, and I've seen kids grow up. I've seen these pastors there grow. And it's just wonderful to go back to places like that over and over and over the years and see. I actually started mission work kind of older in my life, but as I started it, and what happened is in 1993 I was invited to go on a mission trip to Russia, and it's right after the doors opened in Russia, and I really didn't want to go. But you know how that Holy Spirit just kind of does one of these on you, and you know, no, I don't want to do this. And I said, well, I got the perfect thing. I'll ask Dan, and he'll say no. Okay, or he'll say, I'll pray about it, and we'll talk about it. And that was like my fleece, right? And so because he never just says yes. It's always, well, I'll pray about it or think about it. So that was my fleece, and so I go outside, and I said, Dan, I've been thinking about maybe going on that first trip to Russia. He goes, I think that would be wonderful. And I remember saying to him, wait a minute, you never say yes on the first time. What is wrong? He says, I've been praying about that. I've been praying that you would go. Because I think what they need, you know, is exactly what you do. You teach English, you train people, and that's what they want to do. And so I think you should go. And that, you know, I've been in doctrinal teaching and teaching for a long time, but I can honestly say that was like my first big step of faith. You know, you have little steps, and then you have that big step. Because when we left, it was right after Russia had opened their doors. And, you know, we were told, okay, we don't know where we're going. We think we're going here, but we're going to start out of Moscow, and we're going to take the train, and we're going to do this, and we don't know how the KBG is with Americans. Not that many have been going, and so, you know, we just want you to know that we don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, I'm like, goodbye, Dan, you know, and I took the step of faith thinking, well, maybe this is it, but, you know, this is where God wants me to go. So I went on that trip, and what's so amazing about going on that trip is that that's when God touched me with what he wanted me to do for the rest of my life. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes you just do something because you know God wants you to, but he shows you what he has been preparing me for since I was a young girl. Even before my salvation, I was going camping. You know, I was squatting, okay? I was doing things that I had to do as I got involved in missions. And so that was just a wonderful trip, and we had John Hintz with us, so I knew the KGB wouldn't keep us if they arrested us, all right? And I'll never forget, that was just an awesome time, an awesome team, but that was the beginning of my mission work, and I worked with a mission group for a long time. And after looking at different mission organizations, a few of us got together and said, you know, there's things we want to do that we don't see happening with other mission organizations. I mean, one will do this, another will do this, and they'll spend. But there were two or three things that we wanted to do, all of them. And so we said, why don't we just go ahead and start a mission organization? We have people that know how to do this. And so we stepped out on faith in 2004, the end of 2004. So Grace Gospel Missions has actually just been going since the beginning of 2005. And tonight I want to show you and introduce you to some of the things we've done since 2005 and a little bit about what our goals are and what's happening with Grace Gospel Missions. So I'm kind of proud of this little presentation because I worked with it and put it together. And I told Dan there's things jumping on the page for the first time. I love it. Anyway, I'd like to start by, who is this? Oh, there we go. Okay. Grace Gospel Missions has a mission statement, and our mission statement is to train people for mission work. People. All kinds of people. Young, old, whoever. We train people for mission work, and we would support mission activity around the world. So that's a pretty broad thing, but I'd say that the one thing I want you to catch here is train. That's our big thing. We train people. And let's go to this next one here. Look at that. I had to have him turn around. Because, see, around the world, and that's what he just did. He went around the world. yeah. That's good. Okay, the purpose of GGM, our purpose statement, is we endeavor to do a few things, and the very first thing that we endeavor to do is evangelize the lost, and we've done a lot of that. And I'll show you as we go along an area especially. We go into some areas where, like Herman did, where we already have established ministries, but we go into some areas that we've never been before, and we go in to evangelize the lost, and even areas that we've been. There's people that come when they hear, you know, Herman and Dan, or there are people come from other villages, and we always give the gospel. And then we want to train and send believers to do mission work. And, of course, that's one of our number one things is training and sending believers. We also want to establish Bible institutes, and Herman will tell you a little bit more about that later, because that's also something that we do a lot of and want to do a lot of. We train pastors to go and teach. Herman learned the hard way. It was like on-the-job training. So we talk to pastors and, you know, explain to them and try to help them a little bit before they go, because there is a little bit of a hesitation. You know, pastors sometimes, and I can say this because I'm married to one, it's hard for them to kind of step out of that comfort zone and do some things that are a little bit different. And so, but Herman was just wonderful. He just said, I'm going to step out and I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. And he did, and he got great training. He could probably tell you many things. I think maybe he needs to learn a little bit about packing, but we'll work on that. We'll work on that. And then we support indigenous missionaries. And I'm going to introduce you a little bit later to some of the indigenous missionaries that we support. And we feel like it's really, in a sense, a lot more economical than sometimes you have to send Americans into places to help with mission work to get it started. But as far as supporting people, it's so much easier for us to support indigenous missionaries. And they can do a lot with the money. And so we do that. And then this is where you come in. We like to co-labor with local churches and mission organizations to help us do these things. Go through here. You might wonder, well, there's a lot of things here to do, a lot of purposes in that. How do we do that? Well, I'm going to show you how we... Ooh, I did that too. I just had fun with that. I blew him up there, okay? Anyway, the way we endeavor to do that is that we do this through teams, okay? And this is a team that we took. All these people are from Southwood Bible Church, and it's interesting because as I was going through some of the teams that we are used, the different types of teams, many of those teams, this was that team. And the first one, of course, is we take in evangelistic teams. And in this particular situation, we did a lot of evangelism. We take in discipleship teams. In fact, we take people that have been experienced, and they take new people and take them. Two of these people have never been on a mission trip before, so we take them and we train them. So we disciple them and teach them how to do mission work. We also take teaching teams. One thing, we always have a lot of teachers with us, people that can teach children and people that can teach adults and people, women that can teach women, and teach. We do a lot of teaching on our mission teams. And logistical support teams. These are the people that, before we even go, do things like make witness bracelets for us and cut out things and get us ready to go. How important is that? I mean, we have a lot of logistical people that can't go for one reason or another, or they aren't led to go. But they're still on our team because they do all that work for us and get us ready and cut things out and make bracelets. We've taken thousands of those witness bracelets, you know, with the colors on them, to like Russia and different places. Haven't we taken thousands of those? And who makes them? Our logistical team, okay, the people that help us with that. Also, we have, very important, our prayer teams. And this is so important. They begin to pray about the team before they go. Our prayer team started praying about Dan and Herman years before they went. A long time before they went. And we started praying about them. And then the prayer team prayed all the time they were gone. We had people praying for those two. And prayer teams. Praying when you get back, because now you've been there, you know what needs to be prayed for. So prayer teams are so important. And that's something, by the way, everybody can do. Everybody can pray. And then last but not least, we have our financial teams. And what our financial teams do are those are the people that help support people to go. And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I can't go, but boy, I want to help somebody to go. And those are our financial teams. I always tell people, if God's leading you to go on the mission field, finances are not a problem, because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And he'll provide it. And he has, just so graciously. We never go out, you know, say, we need money, give us money. We just let people know we're going, and people help us go. And that's, everybody's needed on that team. I want you to remember this team, because I'm going to talk about them just a little bit later. You know, I write all these notes, and then I get, I don't know why, I don't ever use them. Okay? Okay, and then I get lost here. Okay, one of the main things that we have is that we like to establish Bible institutes, and we use a curriculum which is called Bible Training Center for Pastors. Just real quickly, looking to see how much time I have. This was actually established by a man who went to Dallas Seminary. He was an attorney, and he went to Dallas Seminary and got a he went on one of the short programs where he just got an MABS, Master's of Biblical Studies, and then he went on the mission field. And you know what? That Master of Biblical Studies is enough to go on the mission field, okay? And so he went on the mission field, and he's in Kenya, and he's saying, man, he's saying, you know, even what I got in that course was too much for these people. We need to condense it down and get the basics and get just exactly what they need to make them good pastors here. And so he put together this curriculum. And I want you to see the curriculum, because we use the curriculum. We've already graduated one class, and we're beginning to use this curriculum everywhere we go. And I want you to see the curriculum, because as you can look here, some of the things, the curriculum, or Bible study methods, Old and New Testament survey, communicating biblical messages, Bible doctrine survey, personal spiritual life, church administration and education, missions, evangelism, discipleship, teaching principles and methods, and also church history. Now, what I like is when you get all this together, you can get somebody really solidly in their foundations in the Word of God to be able to go out and teach others. And this personal spiritual life, that's one Herman always likes to do. And I know why, because this is a perfect one to teach grace and faith, and to teach people how to walk in the Spirit. Because believe me, over there, they hear everything else. And so we take this curriculum and we use the grace and faith that we've learned. And Grace Gospel Missions is a grace and faith mission organization. We have Pastor John Hintz on our board. We have Bill Risley, who's just joined our board. We have Carl Gross on our board, and myself. And so the four of us are the board members, and it will never be anything but a grace, faith, mission organization. And we even have things in place that if we get out of line, zip, we're gone. You know, I love it. But this curriculum is very good, and we've used it, and it's been successful. And we've used this in Nigeria. It's the first country. We started one specifically in a place called Calabar, Nigeria. And we graduated our first class there. This is where we had it. We had it at Rock House Bible Church, if you look at the church up here. And you can see Dan down there. And this was our class. And you can see there were like five ladies, because this curriculum is designed not only for pastors. Pastors get like extra training, but it's designed for church leaders also. And so there's a lot of women that wanted to learn how to teach, how to do these things, wanted to go through it. I've always wanted to go through. And Dan did this at our church. We started out and we had, 10 people? 10 people that graduated from our church. Well, what happens when you go through this Bible Institute and you're trained with this curriculum, you can go then and you can teach this. Men can teach it. This is our first graduating class. And what a great group of people. What happened here is we had it in the city of Calabar at Rock House Bible Church, and some of the people in the city went to the Bible Institute. Dan and I started it in June of 2005, And we went back at the end 1 year later, and they all these people graduated, so we started and we ended it. It was great. They all went through all the courses. We sent some Americans there to teach, but some of the people there also taught. And these pastors, six of these pastors came in from Abudu. Abudu is like a 6-7 hour drive from Calabar. They drove in once a month and spent a whole week or 2 weeks, depending on how long the course was. They stayed in the church. They slept in one big room with a big mattress laying on the floor. They cooked their own food, and they stayed there to take these Bible classes. And it was a real sacrifice for these guys to come in and do that because it's so far. And, you know, it cost them money. So we had actually scholarships. We helped them out a lot to get there, and we helped them with some of their books and that. But how exciting, because some of these people, these six pastors, and I don't even know if Herman knows this, when I went there in 1993, they were just these young pastors, and they kept saying, we haven't had any training. We would love to have some kind of Bible training. And do you know, it wasn't until just 2004, you know how many years that is, that they got Bible training. How exciting. You know, here in America, we take that for such granted, you know, to get Bible training. But that's not true around the world. And these men, I was so happy when they finally got up there, and they were so proud of the fact, and they went back to their villages better equipped to train and to teach their people the Word of God. So we're very proud of that group. We also, in Zambia, worked with Gene Cunningham in a Bible Institute in Zambia, specifically Chipembe. And, of course, Herman also went there, and there's some wonderful people there, wonderful men who are so open and positive to being taught and trained. And we're praying and hoping, because they've not really gotten it done in a year, and so, you know, you lose momentum. So we finally talked to them and said, look, we'd like you to end in 1 year from January. So that's our goal, is to have that Bible Institute and those people graduated 1 year from January. And so we'd like to get that finished. In Chipembe, our pastor is Pastor Stewart. Maybe some of you met him when he was here, Pastor Stewart. Anyway, Chipembe is the village, and these are some buildings that he built there. And we have such a burden to fill those buildings with people. So that's something you can pray about. He likes to go to different countries. He goes and speaks. And his goal and his vision is to bring a whole bunch of people from Tanzania and Botswana and Zimbabwe and all those countries surrounding. Because he has churches that he's the head. He's called Evangelical Ministries. And he is the top guy. They put him as number one guy. So he goes all over, and he has hundreds of churches that he goes and speaks in. And his vision is to get those people, those pastors, trained. And some of them came to the Bible Institute from really far away in Zambia. But he wants to do this in all these different countries. He has a great vision and a great heart to do that. So we're really praying that he'll do that. Most of our work and most of our ministry is done in Africa in three different countries, both in Nigeria, in Kenya, and in Zambia. And, of course, Herman got to go to two of those countries, but we also have that in Africa. Now, you guys are familiar with this group because we do work with the Risley family in Sonora, Mexico. They're also our supported missionaries. We support them. In Calabar, Nigeria, we have a Pastor Fred Abua, and he is the pastor, missionary, and director of the Bible Institute there, and he would like to continue to have Bible Institutes. He doesn't want to stop. You know, so he says, okay, I'm going to start another one. So, and you know, as soon as somebody has that kind of desire and that drive to do it, they get hit with all kinds of angelic problems. You know, we do in the United States too, but over there, the problems that they hit, the financial problems, the, you know, drought where hundreds of people are dying in their country, their family gets malaria. We just got a letter from Matthias. He has malaria. His wife has malaria, and he has, not cholera, but he has another disease. And they fight this all the time, and children in their churches die. You know, death to them is just, it's part of their living. They face it. They face these things. And so they face a lot of problems that we're not familiar with. And so we think American, and we think, well, why don't they do this? But believe me, this man is a wonderful teacher. He is so trained, has such a heart to see many, many other people trained. Dan says he's a great Bible teacher. I'm always teaching the women when they're in with the men. But he decided he wanted to hear him, and he is a good teacher. In fact, I'd say in 1996, the first time I ever went to Africa, I met this man, and he had a church of about 200 or 300 people. All right? And then I remember when I started to leave, and he wasn't just him, there were 3 or 4 pastors, you know, that kind of thing. And when I started to leave, he said, you know, could you take this and mail it in the United States? And I looked at it, and it was to order tapes from RB Theme. And I said, where'd you get this? He said, oh, I found it somewhere. And so I said, okay. Well, come to find out, he started growing and learning the Word of God and everything, and decided to separate himself from this Assembly of God church. The more he grew, the more he wanted to be independent and teach doctrine. Well, he lost all but about 30 people. And, you know, so it's not just here in the United States. When you're teaching the Word of God, you're going to be small. But, you know, those are the people that wanted to learn. He said, I'd rather have 30 people out of 300 that want to learn the Word of God than 300 that don't want to. And so he started Rock House Bible Church. And that's how Fred has done. And we support him, and we love him and his family. In fact, he had twins one time we were there. And the wife had the twins while we were there. And they named one of the boys Daniel, after Dan. So if you see Dan holding a baby, that's Daniel, okay? Pastor Stuart, Cici Longo, and Julia started out their ministry, by the way, in this little hut. Do you see that little hut? That's their first church, okay? And Pastor Stuart hasn't been a believer for a long, long time, but he was Jehovah Witness. And his testimony is phenomenal, and you guys, I think you may have heard it, I'm not sure, but, you know, his wife went to town, you know, went into Lusaka and went to this evangelistic thing. She got saved, and she came home, and he noticed this difference in her. She was different. And he kept saying, there's something different about you. You're nice. you're being very good to me. What's the deal? And she said, well, I'll tell you. She said, I heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes, well, and she says, would you like to go tomorrow night? And he said, well, I guess so. And he went and he got saved. And right away, I mean, like the day after their salvation, they opened their house to all these Jehovah Witnesses, and they were leading Jehovah Witnesses. You know, every day they were leading 4 and 5 families to the Lord. He is such an evangelist. His gift is definitely evangelism. Well, they grew from this little hut to a bigger one, to a bigger one, to a bigger one, to where they have a huge, huge facility now. And but he loves witnessing to Jehovah Witnesses because he's been there and he knows all the verses and he knows how to witness to them. But he's our pastor there, our missionary director of the Bible Institute, although that has changed because he travels a lot and does a lot of work outside the country. We have another man who's going to take that job and get the Bible Institute finished because he's not there all that much. He also helps out in the government. He used to work for the government in agriculture. So they grow the best corn, they grow the best food out in their village, and he helps out every once in a while in that area. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the government loves this man because he's one of the few honest people they can have to give thousands of dollars to and know he's going to distribute it to where it needs to go to buy the corn to take to the different villages, and it's going to get where it's supposed to be. And so they want him to be, you know, they want to use him. And he is. He's a very honorable man, and that's nice when you have that kind of reputation. In fact, Dan's gotten to know some of the government leaders. You know, Christian, you know, Zambia is a Christian nation. They claim that they are a Christian nation, and they don't let Mormons come in, and they can come, but they can't, I don't even think they can set up a church. And Muslims can come in, but they can't use the media or anything like that because they're a Christian nation. It's a wonderful place to go. We also work with a man called Pastor Francis Corr in Bomet, Kenya. They make great churches there. See, there's the village with all the little huts, and then there's this big, beautiful church that they build there. They build really beautiful churches. Pastor Francis, I met in Zambia. He was Stuart's roommate when they went to a Billy Graham. Where you were? This man and Stuart went to the Billy Graham in Amsterdam. Yeah. And it's interesting because him and Stuart, they raised their money. All these other Africans were getting money from people and asking. They said, no, we're going to go even if we have to raise our own money. And they did, and they went there, and they met because they were roommates. So I met Pastor Francis in Zambia. And when we were there doing vacation Bible schools and things like that, he looked and he said, could you come to Kenya? And I said, well, maybe one of these days we can. And I had another friend with me, and we heard him teach. And the thing we loved about it is in Africa, most of the pastors that you meet for the first time, they're just like, you know, Assembly of God, like screaming and jumping and everything. And this man was just so mild-mannered, but what came out of his mouth was so sound. we said, we like him. We like his teaching. And we like what he's saying. And he wanted us to come. And we said, we will try to get there. He and his church prayed for 2 years for us to come to Kenya. So finally, it just got too convicting. You know, he'd always write a letter. You know, and we'd say, well, yeah, Kenya later, you know. But it got too convicting. So that team you saw at the beginning, that was our first Kenya team. And it was wonderful. He's a pastor, missionary, and conference speaker. And the thing I want to say about Pastor Francis is when we went there, Stuart and his wife met us there because he knew him and we didn't know him that well. And they met us there, and they ministered right alongside our team, Stuart and Julia, with Pastor Francis. But because Pastor Francis had never had a team there, he didn't know what to do with us. So we got there, and there was nothing planned. Okay? That would, you know, that would have driven some people crazy, but we're like, no, we can do this, okay? And so I'll never forget it, because we had already brought a VBS, and we said, well, can we go down to the school right next to the church and ask them if we can do a VBS? Yeah, go ahead. Sure, you can do a VBS. So there we have 100 kids, and our people went in, they did the VBS, and then we said, well, can we go to the schools? And we would be driving along, and I'd say, stop. He'd stop his little van, and I'd say, let me go in. You come with me. So we'd go inside, and I'd say, I'm going to talk to the principal. And I said, we came all the way from America, and we would love to tell your children about Jesus Christ. Would you let us just talk to your children? Sure. Bring all the kids out. We had another 100 there, you know. I mean, we went to 5-6 different schools. And then not only that, we told him, we said, look at all these huts around here. By the way, when we got to this church, see that building right there? There was probably 30 people in it. It holds a couple hundred, about 30 people. We said, you know, have you gone to these huts out here? Have you been out here evangelizing these people? And he's going, well, not really. So, well, let's go. So we all went to huts and we evangelized. We told them we were there. Okay? We went down the streets of the little village, like a voodoo. We went down the streets, Stuart and Julie on one side and Dan and I on the other, and we evangelized everybody in the shops. We gave them the gospel. Okay? Not all of them believed, but a lot of them did. So we did this, okay? By the time we left, there was probably 150 people at that church. Started out with 30, about 150 people. And we thought, oh, yeah, they're just excited about the Americans. Oh, no. When we left, they kept coming. Now we have a problem because they all want Bibles. Okay? So we have sent a couple hundred Bibles to this church. And it keeps growing. And it keeps growing. And now he's saying, I want a Bible Institute. I want to train some of these people. I want to, you know, get them out doing what you guys did. And he was so encouraged. And, you know, here's a man who just was plugging along and just didn't know that you can step out on faith. You can just walk out there and say, God, we're going to go out here and we're going to see. I got to tell this story. Let me look at my time. Got to tell this story because Dan, we're on the school grounds and we're down there teaching all these kids and we're giving them the gospel with the gloves and we're doing all this stuff. And I look up and I see this drunk man, you know, dancing away and everything. And I'm, oh my gosh, you know. And so I see Dan talking to him and I didn't notice anything. A little bit later, I notice that Dan's gone. The drunk man's gone. And the van is gone. Okay? And so I'm always the team leader on these because that's what I do for GGM. I lead teams. And my husband's the only one that doesn't always follow my directions. Because you're not supposed to go off, especially with a drunk person, you know, by yourself. And he said, well, we're just going to go to my village and I want you to just talk to, you know, because Dan says, well, they're down there telling people about Jesus Christ. He said, well, what about my family? You need to come with me. And so Dan, by faith, gets in this van and they drive and drive. And he said it was just down the corner, but Dan says they drove and they drove and they drove. We finally get to his house. He calls in all the neighbors, his family, and Dan sits down and leads those people to the Lord. I mean, when God calls you to do something and you go, God's going to, the results are in his hands. And Dan, he led them all to the Lord, and he comes back, and he's so excited and everything. But the good news is that somebody said, yeah, but, you know, tomorrow he won't remember it. He was drunk, blah, blah, blah. Aho. The next day, we're at a school. Dan's at another school with Stuart and them, at a big, huge school. We're at this other school close to his village, not knowing where his village was because we weren't with him. And we're teaching at the school, and all of a sudden, here comes this man with 10 or 15 people behind him. And he comes up, and he finds me, and he says, hey, these people need to hear about Jesus, too. He made us sit down and give these people the gospel. And Pastor Francis showed up, and he says, what's going on? I said, these people want to hear the gospel. And so after it's all over, Pastor Francis is just sitting there, you know, and one of our people got a chance to lead him to the Lord, so that was great. And he's sitting there, and then finally this guy gets up, and he says, yes, I believed on Jesus Christ yesterday when Dan came to my house, and he says, it's time we get a Bible study going. I need to learn the Bible. So, I mean, just these this is what happened that for this guy praying for 2 years for us to come to this country. And this is just, you know, we left, and I'm telling you, it was just, and we took such a prepared team. I mean, we had people to teach children. We had people to teach men. Carl Gross taught men while Dan and us were downtown evangelizing. We had everything you can imagine. We had just an amazing team. And we were prepared. And God uses prepared people. That's why GGM trains people, because he uses prepared people. It's called Bomet. And it's about, Dan says 100 miles out of Nairobi, but it's not. If you know where, it just seemed like that because of the roads and how long it took us. And they took us, you know, Africans are amazing people. I've been going, I've gone to 6 different African countries, and I've gone lots. So I'm becoming African, and I understand how they think. And so, like, Dan goes, well, that was so long to get there. And I said, Dan, it's not that long. It's that they took us this way. Okay, he could have gone this way, because they wanted us to stay at this really nice guest house, because we're Americans, and we walked in, we had our suitcases, and I looked around, and I said, I don't know if we could afford to stay here. And they had it all set up and everything, and I asked him, I said, how much is this place? And he goes, oh, it's only like $30 a night. And I go, well, that's good, there's 10 of us. He goes, no, I mean a person. And I said, no, we can't stay in this place. We're poor missionaries, okay? We need to move on. And so I hated to do it, because it was so beautiful, but you know what? We really couldn't afford to stay there, so I said, let's move on. So they went way out of the way to get us to this place, and that's just the African thing. You have to stop by and visit people on your way. You have to go to the bank. You have to go get your car washed. You have to change tires. You know, it's the African way. You don't just go somewhere.
See,
and
that's the African way. Dan's way is to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, but when they see Americans, they actually think, okay, they think that we want to stay in these plush things, and you know, most Americans do, but we say no, we want to stay in the hostels for $12 a night, and we want to save money, and we want to, you know, we don't want to spend our money that way, and we want to stay with you. We want to, and I told Pastor Francis, they put us up in this place anyway. I told him, next time let us stay at your house, okay? Let us stay, because you have that room where, you know, we can put 4 or 5 people. And I said, we'd much rather do that. He goes, you'd stay at our house, but it's so crummy. I said, but that's where we want to be. We want to be with you. And he was just kind of excited about that. Well, you know these people, right? You definitely know the Risley family. Bill and Pat Risley, and I like this, so I can go through all their names. Grady and Cheryl, Amber and Jose, Courtney, Summer, Nathan, Isola, and they're in Sonora, Mexico. And we've already done, a couple times we've been there, and we're going again the day after Christmas. We're going to do a mission trip there and take some of our young people and some of our old people, and we're all going to go down, and we're going to go to the tar paper houses that they have a ministry in, and do a VBS for the children and hand out Christmas gifts and, you know, evangelize, go to the hospital, pray for the people, and just do some mission work with them. So that's who we have there. Now, this is how we train people. We do boot camps. It started out as a YES program, which was called Youth Equipped for Service. And they were so successful, we would train these young people. And I'll tell you how we actually ended up doing this. Rhonda and I took a group of young people to Russia. This was the beginning of our training. And the way we always did it is we would just tell these people, okay, this is your list, get it, bring it, kind of like we did with Herman, you know, just here's your list, pack in this little box, you know, come and, you know, well, you know, he came through with it, okay? The suitcase was a little bigger than we expected, but but it wasn't like these girls. We had one girl, I mean, we told them the size and everything to bring in the suitcase. She had this huge suitcase. Well, what she didn't realize is that in Russia, in Moscow and everything, you can't go on the subways with something like that. So because of her big suitcase, we had to actually hire a van to get all of us different places, which cost us a lot of money in Russia. So there's just little things like that. And then we go and we went to Yekaterinburg, and we went way up in the Ural Mountains, and we got to go to the Ural Mountains and have a picnic, and the van broke down we were in. We got to push the van to get it started again. But anyway, we went into this gymnasium, and the pastors we worked with there did a wonderful job to get us this huge gym. And how many kids do you think we had there in Russia? 300, 400, I don't know, about that many kids showed up. Every kid in this town showed up, you know, in this communist town where the government just, you know, and all these kids showed up, and we did a VBS for them. And if I hadn't had Rhonda, because our kids that were supposed to teach our young people came, and a couple of them brought lessons, but some of them were like, oh, well, I didn't know we were going to teach for 4 days at this VBS, and I brought 2 lessons, and so we're just like, hi, running around, you know, she's running, doing the kids, and I'm running, you know, getting things, and we taught, and we taught, and we taught, and we taught, and it was just a wonderful experience, except Rhonda and I were so darn tired when we got home, just filling in all the blanks of what didn't happen. And but, you know, the good news is many children came to know Christ as Savior. Many people, we spoke at churches. They invited us into the strictest Baptist church where you have to wear the little scarf and the little, you know, funny outfits and everything. They invited us in to speak and tell what we were doing there because everybody in town knew there were these Americans there. And so we had a tremendous impact. Even though the last day of our VBS, the KGB came in, and a woman, and believe me, they were KGB, and they came in and they said, let me see your license for being here. And we're going, license? What do you have? You know, so we're asking the pastor. He says, oh, we had to do that? I said, yeah. So they took us into the office. And, you know, people think that sounds so awful. And, of course, it was kind of a scary thing because, you know, and our kids are saying, well, we're Americans. I said, honey, in Russia, it doesn't matter if you're an American, okay? Wherever you are in the world, it doesn't matter. So they had a lot of lessons they learned, you know, these high school, early college age. And so I said, right now you need to just pray because I'm going to go in and talk to this woman first, try to talk her out of charging us all this money and whatever they're going to do. And so I went in and I just begged her. I said, look, these are just young people. I said, just whatever you're going to do, you know, I'm the one that had the problem. I didn't realize it, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking to her and she's like, you know, this very stern person and everything. And I said, you know, we came here just to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, about how he died on the cross for our sins. And, you know, I'm going through giving this gal the gospel. And so almost every kid that came through gave her the gospel. So by the end, she was smiling. And she was just so, and so she's okay, y'all can go. And we left and everything. And that's what, and you know, I thought, you know, that seemed like a bad experience, but God turned it for his good. We were supposed to go there and tell this woman about Jesus Christ. And I think that's what's so wonderful about mission work. You know, you just say, well, it should be life, but, you know, we really do it on the mission trip. It's like, Lord, you know, we're here. Use us however you want us. KGB wasn't in our plans, but, you know, that was in his. Just like the man they met who was a professor at a university here in the United States. That was a divine appointment. Okay? But anyway, we do these boot camps. Now, if you look at the pictures, you'll see a campfire there, and you'll see all the backpacks. And this is Mount Lemmon in Tucson. And this was a boot camp that we did. And as you look down here in the corner, you'll see some of the food, which is just rice. Yes, for rice, chicken, a little bit of pineapple. What we try to do is give them food that they would have in, like, Africa. And then we make them... And we have adults there, too. We had adults with us and young people. And we cook it out over in the open fire like they do in Africa. And we sleep on the ground. And we take bucket baths where they learn to soap up and put water over and scrub. And then, you know, we do the bucket bath thing. All that we do on top of a mountain like that. And then what we did was we went down to Tucson Bible Church and did a VBS at Tucson Bible Church with our people. We trained them that way to go down and minister. And so every day we'd go to the mountain, we do our boot camp things, and then we go down and do VBS, and our goal was to get VBS in Tucson Bible Church. And do you know, every year since then, they do VBS every summer. But that was our goal. We, you know, that's our ministry. And then after that, we wanted to see how real missionaries live, so we went to Sonora, Mexico, and we spent some time with Grady, and he was so excited because he says, my dad doesn't let very many people see me. You guys must be special. You know John Hintz, I guess you're okay. So we had a wonderful time, and we just fell in love with Grady, and we had a great time. And what a wonderful thing to have you know, them go on the mission field and actually stand beside the Risleys and see what they do. And I'm very, very excited about the future, what's happening with GGM. John Hintz is now training a young man who may be our first missionary that we send out full-time as a missionary. We want to do that. We want to send out full-time missionaries from the U.S. Ashley, another young girl that he has there, is becoming a nurse, and she wants to be a missionary. Rhonda's daughter is in medical school. She's going to be a doctor. They already have a chief that they want her to marry in Nigeria. She went? Yeah. He was... no, her daughter... Yeah. And he found out that, you know, he's old and everything, and he found out her daughter went to Nigeria with us and found out that she was going to be a doctor, and he's, oh, I want to propose to you. I want to marry you, you know. So anyway, we've had just wonderful experiences. The training is so wonderful with people. It's not just about, you know, that team, that Kenya team. I have some ladies that went that have always wanted to go on a mission trip, but they said, well, you know, we don't teach, and what are we going to do? And I said, well, you know what, we need people. They ended up, by the way, evangelizing, because we needed more people to evangelize, and so we always make sure people can at least go through a track, okay, to give the gospel. But they actually held up sheets so that the gals could do puppet shows, and they were feeding the kids. We made sandwiches for the kids and fed them, and so they experienced the mission field just by being a support team to the people that were actually teaching. And you know, it's not just about being on the field, it's about all those people that I know pray for us when we're on the field. You know that, Herman. It's just, you know, you're over there and you just know people are praying for you, and you know people sacrifice money to send you, and you know that people are helping, and you know people have that mission, eyes for God. You know, God is a missionary God. And for many years, you know, I started out my Christian life. I got saved at 16 and didn't really get into the Word till I got in Campus Crusade at 19. And I mean, I was a crusader. Okay, I mean, I wanted to witness and tell everybody about Jesus Christ, but I'm so glad I did that, because that desire to tell people about Jesus Christ was there, and it was planted inside of me, and I wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ. And so I was always, you know, going to the beaches of California, or everybody I would meet, I'd have to tell them about Christ. My family was like, back off, girl, back off, you know. But I did. My first convert was my father. I was sick, and I just read through a tract. My dad believed on Christ, you know. And so, and over the years, all my family have become believers, but it took many, many years for that to happen. Your family's always the hardest, you know. But the thing that I love is that I always just thought of missions as right here. I had like, but you know, when I started thinking, no, missions is about bifocal glasses. It's about seeing what needs to be done right here, but then looking up and seeing there's a whole world out there. And when I looked up and saw the whole world and realized that it's not just here, the whole world needs Jesus Christ. Wherever you want to send me, even if it is to Russia with the KGB and I may not come back. And all I'm saying for each one of you is that my prayer for you would be that you just say, use this verse here. First, well, not this. Lessons from the Latrine. I didn't know that was in there. Okay, this was a boot camp thing in Mexico. Now, I want you to see how they handled the problem of not having to dig a hole to use the bathroom. I know. I was going to say, and this is fancy compared to what your pastor had to deal with. So, but the lessons from the latrine, you can learn a lot by this type of thing. But anyway, this is the one I really wanted to show you. It was right here. This verse right here says in Isaiah 6:8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here my Lord, send me. And when you say, here my Lord, send me, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go off on the mission field. It just means you are saying, God, I want to fulfill the plan that you have for me, wherever or whatever. If it's helping to support missions, if it's, you know, to be logistical, finance, whatever, part of that team, that's what I want. Now, I have a very special thing for you tonight. So it's going to take me a minute. So if you have any questions, Herman's going to answer them while I go on here and get something really special to show you, okay? So, Herman, do you all have any questions for Herman? And if he can't answer them, then Rhonda or I will. You know, my husband put something on here. He did this for me.
Ghana.
Uh-huh. In Kenya. We have two that people have already requested. Pastors want us so badly to come. So we definitely want to do that. Okay. And you know, I'm thinking for this one, we might even turn off a lot of the lights, okay? Because this is going to be... Let me wait till I get it up here.
Oh, no. I know what you're getting ready to do.
Just a minute. There's, oh.
As Dan and I are baptizing,
how are you filled with the Spirit?
Pat, you are terrible.
Figured you need a Bible class tonight.
Repentance has no power.
Have you all heard that before?
Holy Spirit.
That's what they said, the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. water after the baptism, and Reverend Eman with Pastor Lano Zagba of Great Gospel Mission. After baptism, they are coming as well, fully rejoicing, praising the Lord. Dr. Dan, good day. God bless you, sir.
Okay.
Dr. Dan, we are happy that the baptism is successfully conducted. Please, what do you have to say?
Well, I'm just happy to be here with all of these brothers and sisters in Christ and to have this tremendous honor of baptizing them. And that's here to do
the guy behind tournament. Him, standing right there, that's Pius. He's another pastor.
Thank you very much.
More friends and fellow pastors in America could experience a day like we have had today.
Thank you very much. The brethren in Obudu are very happy to have you. And many of them, we are so eager to be baptized by Dr. Dan and Brother Hema. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
We do not assign him into our hearts. We do not make him Lord. Make is an active verb. I will make him Lord. That's an active verb, people.
This is in Nigeria.
I'm not baptized and be saved. That's active.
Last morning, we moved the furniture outside.
They actually, Dan loved this because it's Bethel Church time.
That's active.
He really had turned it up like a
music. Let's go back to Genesis. In the garden, Cain brought his best.
It's the first time what?
I don't do the advice.
This is the first time they've ever, like,
church at Stewart's Church.
I don't want people on the tape to miss that Herman can dance in the spirit and baptize and all those things. He just had a wonderful time in Nigeria and in Ghana, as you can see up here. And this is the music, that they have beautiful voices. Yeah, now watch dances. Okay, let's do another run on this. But, you know, I've got to tell you, Dan let Herman have the camera. I've never seen so many African feet in my life. I'm like, what is that? He goes, it's the feet. I don't know why, Herman. He's supposed to be taking pictures of me. And all he got was the feet. And so it keeps him humble, you know? Let me just make sure I covered everything. What's ahead for us, for GGM, is that we do want to start a Bible Institute in Ghana. We want to start a Bible Institute, and our Bible Institute lasts for 1 year. Sometimes we have scholarships. GGM has a scholarship fund. We have funds, like we have a scholarship fund for any pastor that wants to go to a Bible Institute, but he can't afford it. We also support 7 indigenous, these men that you're seeing, saw in, the Linus and the Pius and those 6 men. We support them and their families with, and like Linus has 7 or 8 kids, and we support them for, I think it's $30 a month, $30 to $50 a month, and that helps. We're realizing that that's not quite enough, so we're trying to build a little more support for these 7 pastors. These pastors, some of them, have to work. Like with the, many of them are teachers. One works at the post office. They work 30 and 40 hours a week, and they pastor. Okay? And so our goal is to get them. Dan, when he came back this time, he said, I just have such a burden to get these men so that they can go out and spend their full time ministering. Because they want to. They want to do that. And so in GGM, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to get people that like to help support some of these seven pastors. Nigeria is the worst when it comes to finances. Zambia, it's a lot easier. The whole system is easier. But where these men live and the situation they're in, boy, now it's really, as soon as I talk, it's really going now. Well, at least we don't have Herman on there. I don't know if I'd want him for background music, you know. But we want to get people to help with these pastors. That's another thing. Bible funds. You know, everything that comes into Grace Gospel Missions goes towards missions. We take nothing out for staff. None of our staff are paid through the monies that come into our mission. All of our people that are on staff raise their own support, just like a missionary. Our first staff person that's come on has been Rhonda. Rhonda is our first staff person, and she raises her own support and works in our office, you know, 5 days a week and goes on these trips and does all these things for us. But we feel that when people give money to missions, it should go to missions. And so that's what we use it for. Everything that's designated, if you designate that you want to help with one pastor, and we have a little widow in our church, she's just precious as can be, but she just loves giving that $25 to $30 a month to support Pastor John, the apostle. That's, she's on the team, and they communicate with each other. They email each other. All of our pastors email their supporters. They send pictures of the family, get to write them letters. And so we feel that this is one thing that people want to do, and we open it up to anybody that wants to do that. Like I said, we have a Bible fund. We've sent hundreds of Bibles. Tonight we've done it in Nigeria. We've done it in Zambia. We've done it in Kenya. We can get it in the Kalenjin language, which is the language of their village. Yeah, and the Risleys, we send them Bibles, you know, money for Bibles and stuff. So we're real big on Bibles. We're big on training Bible institutes. We're big on helping anybody that can't go to Bible institutes. We're big on these boot camps. Yeah, we're big on the Bible. We're big on teaching. We're big on, and you know, I have all these statistics. I wish I'd brought them. Next time I will, but it's amazing. It's something like, you know, in America, you have like one pastor for so many hundred people. In like Africa, you have a pastor for so many thousands of people. And even those pastors are not all trained. We just don't realize what we have and what they don't have. And so, you know, our goal is to evangelize the lost, to get them saved and to teach them the Word of God and teach them grace and faith. Teach them the grace life. I'll tell you what, Herman, I hope you experience this, because I have every time I've gone and taught grace and just seen these shackles come off people, because over there in so many of those countries, there's so much religion. And I've said that about the foreign field, but you know what? We minister right here in the United States. We do VBSs in Florida. We go down and we help, we train our people and we have them do VBSs. Tomorrow night I'm going to be speaking with a group of young college-age students, and I'm going to say, you know where you need to start? Right here in Mesquite. Let's find a church. Let's do a VBS. Let's minister right here. Next summer, the second week of June, GGM is putting a evangelistic camp, and we're trying to pay for the whole camp. Won't cost kids anything, and we're going to bring kids in, and we're going to evangelize them at our camp. We're going to get probably Risleys down for it, and we're going to do a camp where we can go to these kids, these poor kids who could never afford to go to a youth camp. I mean, all of us say, yeah, as kids, we went to youth camps. But, you know, even $50, they can't afford that. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, there's places that cannot afford that. And I'm sure there's places in right here in Dallas where they couldn't afford $50. So we pay for the camp, and we bring them in, and we give them a wonderful week of swimming and, you know, games and crafts, and we give them the gospel, and we give them the Word of God. And so we do a lot of things in the United States. And Yeah, this is a new ministry. In May, we will be taking a group of people into the Appalachian Mountains. There's a ministry that a group in Alabama does. They've been doing it for 8 years. And they when they described it, I said, that's like Africa. You know, you go up into the mountains, and there's like little villages of people that never even come down. You know, they're just people all over those mountains that need Jesus Christ. And they've been going, well, I got a letter from the people that do it out from Alabama. And they said, look, we need people to come up and do VBSs and know how to give the gospel. We need people, because we don't have enough people to reach those people in the Appalachian Mountains that we want to reach for Christ. And I said, you got it. So in May, we're going to take a whole group of people, whoever wants to go, and go up into the Appalachian Mountains and teach and give the gospel to these people. So wherever, and you know what, I'm finding more and more mission work in America than anywhere. There's a lot of mission work in America. We think everybody knows the gospel. They don't. They know religion. We're a religious country. But grace and faith with the gospel and walking the grace life, guys, we have a lot to tell the people right here in this country. So we're all about, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth. So we have bifocal glasses. Okay? Anyway, I want to thank you so much for the time. Thank Herman so much for giving us this time. We love this church, and we feel you're already co-laboring with us because, you know, we know you all, even though you don't know us, you know of us. Like somebody came in tonight and they said, I feel like I should know you because I've just heard so much about you. And I said, well, it's the same with you all. In Tulsa, they know this church. We pray for you all. We really pray for your pastor. Yeah. Just like we do in Tucson Bible Church, okay? But we feel like we're Yeah, and that pastor. Really, that pastor. And we co-labor with that church, and we co-labor with you, and we're just so thankful, and I'm so thankful that we get to come here and just tell you a little bit more about what's happening, and that everybody can be on the team. We're all we can all work this together, okay? So I just thank you so much, and thank you, Herman. Our Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful that you even consider using us, just a mere man, to give your gospel, to tell people, to tell a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. Father, what greater thing can we give anybody than the good news about Jesus Christ? And Father, about the believers out there, so many believers, Father, that know nothing about grace, that know nothing about the faith life, know nothing about walking in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to use their lives. We pray for those people, and we pray, Father, that this church, with all that they have, Father, with all the grace, with all the good teaching and everything that they have, Father, that they will just say, yes, here I am, Lord, send me. I thank you, Father. I thank you for this group. I thank you for Herman and his faithfulness all these years. And Father, I just want to thank you that the people that are here tonight are here. And Father, it doesn't matter about numbers. It only matters about the few that are here. And I thank you for them. And I thank you so much, Father, just for Grace Gospel Missions and what you've done in such a short time. And Father, we thank you that we know the next thing that's going to happen is Jesus is going to call us and we're going to go home. So we pray that between now and then that we just fulfill the plan that you have for each and every one of us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.